Hi, my name is Chloe Gomez, and today we will be talking about Ms. Kizart's 9th and 10th grade English classroom. In my cooperating classroom, I see Eric Erickson's psychosocial theory and B.F. Skinner's operant conditioning theories at work. Let's begin with Eric Erickson's psychosocial theory. Eric Erickson's psychosocial theory states that human personality develops according to predetermined steps in the individual's readiness to interact within their widening social environment. Or, another simple way to put that, personal development takes place within a social context. One of the developmental stages that is a part of Eric Erickson's psychosocial theory is identity versus role confusion. And it only makes sense that I was able to see this in Ms. Kizart's classroom because they are 9th grade students and they're going through the adolescent age. And high school is a prime time for when students are trying to figure out either who they are or they're losing themselves. And I think one of the behaviors that Ms. Kizart has seen amongst some of her students, not all but some of them, is that they are starting to have identity confusion. For example, her student Marvin started out the school year as a very, very organized student who got his stuff done, all of his work done, within the right amount of time. And every time he would get it done, he'd receive a high grade because he did it well. However, she did notice as time went by and he started to hang out with different people, got to know different friends, he started to let his guard down with school and his grade started to go down. He went from top 3 student now down to top 5. Still very high, but she knew that Marvin had more in him and was probably just getting distracted by other people. So she decided to instruct him and tell him about how his grade has dropped, and she asked what she could do. And he said that he admitted that he let his guard down, he admitted that he was getting confused, and that he was wanting to have fun with his friends, but also knew that he put an importance on his grades as well. So as time went by, Mrs. Kizart would always go up to Marvin, ask if he's been doing okay, make sure that he's doing his work, make sure that he's staying true to himself. And now, at the end of the semester, Marvin is back up to top 3 of his class. Through this, I believe that Mrs. Kizart has successfully executed her theory to practice of supporting adolescents' identity development through being a mentor and role model. This consists of teachers spending a considerable amount of time with students and mentoring relationships where students' identity with respect to teachers can positively influence students' identity development. I truly believe that because Ms. Kizart continued to be there for Marvin whenever he needed her, he was able to get from top 5 back up to top 3. And the reason why that is significant in her class, because top 5 is still very good, but the top 3 people in her classroom get recognized in the classroom, and she puts it up for everybody to see who the top 3 of each class, who the top 3 students of each classes are, sorry. The second theory that I see at work in Ms. Kizart's classroom is B.F. Skinner's operant conditioning theory. Skinner's work has tremendous educational implications. This includes the use of behavioral objectives to ensure educational accountability, positive reinforcement and praise to encourage students' learning, and the use of time out and token economies to manage classroom behavior. Now, Ms. Kizar's classroom is one where positive talk is encouraged very highly. She continues to talk to each one of her students and know them on a personal level, knowing what will motivate them and what won't. And according to these motivations, she is able to get through to the students in efforts to raise their grade if they're not making a good enough or a passing grade point average. One thing that I do see used a lot in Ms. Kizar's classroom that has to do with B.F. Skinner's theory is her token economy, except it's used in a different way. So she likes to use the token economy to show that her students are able to have a sense of responsibility. For example, students are required, whenever a project is given to them, they are required not only to meet all the requirements of that project, but they're also required to bring the paper with the guidelines and the rubric back to her on the day that they present her project to show that they are responsible enough to not lose their papers. And if the student is successful in bringing back that paper to her with their name on it, then they will get 5 extra points to their projects. Now let's take a look inside Ms. Kizar's classroom. There are 2 bookshelves to the left-hand side of the wall. There's 1 bookshelf in the front, and where they also have their journals. And then to the far right side is Ms. Kizar's corner. Although not very big, she doesn't really need it because she uses the rest of the room to just walk around. Also on the right-hand side wall, there is a smart board with a whiteboard. On the whiteboard is the agenda of the day for the students as well as the homework for the next class. As far as desks go, it's always something different with Ms. Kizar. She either has them in rows or groups of 4 or even pairs of 2. Kind of just depends on the day. Whenever they're in rows, it more than likely means that they're going to have a quiz. But at the end of the day, they always end up in groups. So the subject that Ms. Kizar teaches is English. The grades that she teaches are 9th and 10th grade. The sizes of the classrooms are not big at all. They range from about 14 to maybe 20. But I think 20 is a little too high of a number. Maybe more like 18. So the gender of the students, I think there's a pretty fair amount. The class that I go observe, it really does seem like it's a 50-50 between boys and girls. But there is another class that I go to where there's only 3 girls and 5 boys. So it kind of just depends on the class. The race is Mexican. There's only 1 other boy in the classroom who isn't Mexican. There is another boy who is Asian. And other than that, that's all I've seen. Everyone speaks English, and there are a lot of Spanish speakers. I would describe this classroom as very busy. Ms. Kizar is really a big believer on having her students' minds always at work. What I mean by this is there's no room for downtime. There's never a time when students have just free time to do whatever they want or work on other things. She always wants her students working on English. And if they finish one assignment, then there's always reading for the next class day. And if there's not, then that means that the novel's finished and they should be doing group work. So I would describe this classroom as one where students are just constantly having their minds at work. It's a very busy classroom, and it's one where students are truly participating, I believe, in having a growth mindset. Now I would like to share with you a little bit of what Ms. Kizart told me her philosophy of teaching is. All children can learn is a statement that I feel very strongly about. My job is to take any student from where they start with me and develop them into more of the student and person they can be. Sometimes it is not just academic development. Oftentimes it is maturity and a greater sense of character and integrity. My mission for teaching comes from my mother, who was a teacher, and my grandmother, who was a teacher. All of my aunts were teachers also. I grew up surrounded by educators. I'm proud to say that one of my sons is also an educator. Preparing students for the future is so important to me that I've invested my time and talents not only here at STA, but also working with youth at my church and being a member of both a teacher sorority and a community service sorority. Helping the community and the citizens of tomorrow is what I love and feel honored to do. My favorite educational theorist is Howard Gardner, Multiple Intelligences. He has greatly influenced my teaching style. I truly see how Ms. Kizart stays true to her philosophy of teaching statement amongst her classrooms. She holds her students to a high standard and responsibility because she knows what they are capable of. No late work is accepted, and no excuses are accepted either. She truly does not only focus on her students' academic growth, but their personal growth. She knows her students individually. She knows what works and what doesn't. She knows their tics. She knows their habits. She knows what motivates them. And I think that's what truly makes her a great teacher, is that she is able to see when they're struggling, when they need more of a push, and when they're okay. She not only takes this within her students, but she also helps the other teachers around her. She is like the mother of St. Anthony. Anyone who meets her loves her. Every time I talk to someone about how I'm shadowing with Ms. Kizart, they always say Ms. Kizart's the greatest teacher ever. Because she is. She's strict, but she knows what her students are capable of. And that's why she continues to push them further. And even the students can say that they appreciate her too. One of her students expressed to me that although she is strict, she is a good teacher. And I think that was truly remarkable of that student to say, because most times when students have a strict teacher, they often deem that teacher as their least favorite. But that's not what these students do. And I think that's really important that Ms. Kizart is able to hold her students to a high standard, as well as let them know that she loves them, she cares for them, and that's why she's hard on them. She's not always hard on them, though. She knows which students that she can be hard on and give tough love to, and which students need more of a softer approach. And I think that's also important as a teacher, and it goes again with knowing your students. I am so grateful to have had Ms. Kizart as a teaching mentor. She has taught me a lot with not only how to handle students, but also how to handle parents, parent conferences, and other teachers that you come into contact with. She was a truly remarkable mentor, and I hope that I have her again next semester if I can. And I also know that I have learned a lot from her, and that there's even some of her teaching styles that I know that I'll take into my classroom, and I'm truly thankful for that. But thanks for listening. Bye.